The views stated by the hosts of this podcast are opinion only and should not take the place of a qualified healthcare professional or mental health specialist. This podcast is for education and recreation. Welcome to Ask a Hag, a podcast about self-care and witchcraft in the modern world. Hi, I'm Leslie.
And I'm Allison.
And we are asked questions every day in the work that we do within our community. And this podcast is a space for us where we can share our knowledge and experiences as witches and healers. It's a place where you, dear listener, can find inspiration and also feel empowered wherever you are on your journey.
We've got a fun one today.
Oh, we sure do.
We sure do. I'm so excited.
We've got a wonderful guest.
Our very dear friend. Laura is joining us via telephone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And this is not her first podcast with us. Laura's joined us a couple times before. And it's so nice to have you back, Laura, and really get to share some of the fun and magic today.
What are we doing, Leslie?
Well, our wonderful producer approached the three of us and said, why don't we talk about our top 10 essentials?
Yes. Things we can't live without.
Right. So they are 10 items most important to us. They are not ranked necessarily.
Okay.
Like I didn't rank mine.
Yeah, it was hard to rank them.
Oh, absolutely. And in theory, these are things that we use every day.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I came at it with, what do I buy two of?
Ooh.
Like, what do I find is so important for me to have around that I have to purchase them in bulk?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting strategy. I like
Thank you, Laura. Or
I
also, what do
more
I find?
Along the lines of, what can't I live without? Or like, what's in my go bag, you know?
Yeah.
That's good.
What do I take with me when I'm on the move?
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm excited. Okay. So we kind of are putting Laura up to the mic to begin as our shining guest, our guest tonight.
Our inspiration.
Laura, do you accept going first?
My heart's pounding a little bit, yes.
Oh, my friend!
I accept the challenge. I'm here. First thing on my list is my community-supported agriculture box.
Oh,
and I'm literally looking at the wooden farm box that the vegetables come in every week.
My
but,
heart.
This is...
I'm crying a little.
It's not. Oh, well,
that's
so it's
so
not
sweet.
Shiny, but it's really special, and yeah. It makes me feel good, and it gives me all of these beautiful greens and veggies to cook with. And in pandemic times, I mean, it's so nice to have some food coming every week that's fresh, and I don't have to continue to grocery shop maybe as often as I was before. But we've been getting this box for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, and it's so lovely to have a connection with the farmer and the land locally here. And so that is first pick.
And Laura, do you get like breads and honey and flowers with that too?
You can. This one, sometimes they have an option for bread that a local community member bakes. Sometimes they put it in there early in the season, even if we don't ask for it, when they're, you know, things are still coming in. And there's really only like lettuce and greens and some strawberries in the early weeks. But we just get, root vegetables, greens, some fruits, we get an extra box of mushrooms that are locally foraged, so that's cool. But yeah, it depends which farm you go with and what their animals are and what they grow.
That's beautiful.
I have questions.
Oh,
so many that's questions.
Way. Yeah.
What's been the most challenging thing that you've made with your box? Open for interpretation.
What have you made with your box? Laura.
Well, the farmer that I work with, they send an email and they have recipe suggestions, which really helps me out, because the first couple of years I really didn't know what to do with some of the items in the box. like fennel. I got to really know fennel and love fennel, but I didn't know how to cook with fennel at first. What else? The radishes I have trouble finding use for. Hmm. It's just nice to have some different recipe ideas, you know. But I think that eggplant still trips me up.
That's
figuring out eggplant. That's probably eggplant lasagna, if it works out, that is always exciting because it doesn't always work out for me.
Yeah. That's very cool. Oh, I love it. I've always wanted to do one of those.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. I love that, Laura. Right.
Number two.
You ready? Ooh, yeah.
Is a old beat up green pashmina shawl that I've been taking with me everywhere for about 10 years because it's so multifunctional for me. Like if I'm on an airplane, it could be a little blanket. It could be a scarf. It could be a hood. I folded it up and used it as a pillow when I'm camping. It could be like a little blanket under you if you're outside. Don't sit directly on the ground. And one time I even was wearing this like fleece dress and I decided that I needed to take it off because of where I was too hot and I was dancing too much. So I went in the bathroom and I took this shawl and I wrapped it around my
boobs
so I could keep dancing.
I love it.
That's so funny. I love that.
So it's just come in handy and I take it everywhere. It's like my little good luck shawl.
Yeah.
This one's, for me, a little shinier. I don't know. It's not like literally shiny, but it's my interchangeable circular needle set.
Oh.
My knitting needle set.
I need a translation.
Yeah. Okay.
I figured that you might. So when you're knitting, you have two needles, yeah? And there's something called circular needles where the one piece you're knitting with and the other piece you're knitting with are connected, usually by a plastic wire. Could be metal, but metal tends to fray eventually, so it's not preferred. But the work, you know, the stitches that you knit stay on this piece of plastic, so you could knit around in a circle without stopping. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Instead of going back and forth.
Yeah.
But you can go back and forth, too, and it's just not, if you are making something really big, you know, super long, say wooden or metal needles, then it's like getting really heavy and it's harder to knit with. So the plastic loop lets the heaviness of the piece sit in your lap, even if you're just knitting straight back and forth. So this interchangeable set has a few different lengths of cord and then all the different widths of needles so you can change sizes either in the middle of a project or between projects. But for me, I was just buying the needle size I needed for the project for a lot of years. And then you rack up this huge amount of knitting needles that are all different circumferences. But you don't have a complete set necessarily, right?
And so
when I was starting to get into designing more, I realized that I might want to have different sizes to work with and change out with because the width of the needle will determine the feel of the fabric. That makes sense. So I wanted to be able to play with the size of the needle that I was working
with. Oh, that is so cool. I admire your work so much. Laura's shared some beautiful pieces.
Absolutely gorgeous. And I am literally wearing a Laura Herman piece right now.
I thought you might.
I'm wearing the shawl that you made me, my dear.
It makes me smile.
And I live in it.
Go ahead.
I'm serious. Donna can say it's always out. It's always like at the ready. Your stuff is so beautiful. So
I would love one like the beautiful bell sleeve piece that you did. That just makes me drool.
Uh-huh.
And you wear it so well, Laura. Oh my gosh.
Guys, I have tears in my eyes.
It's true.
I'm so impressed by the work you do. It cannot be easy. I can't sew a straight line. And trust me, I tried to crochet a scarf once, and that was anyway.
Yeah.
We won't get into that. But.
I find it very soothing, you know? You just have to find the things that calm your spirit or bring you joy.
Totally.
And this set, actually, the name of the company is called, I had to look this up, Luca. The Danish word that means happiness.
Ugh.
And the needles themselves are made of, I think, birch wood. And they're stained this pretty gray color. So the whole thing is just like really aesthetically pleasing to me. Feels good in my hands.
Yeah.
Helps me do the thing that makes me feel good when I'm trying to relax. So
that's so cool.
Yeah.
It's I often like when I guide people through cleansing their homes, I always mention doing something that brings them joy once they've cleansed their home. And for whatever reason, I've always listed knitting. Never done it. But to me, I look at other people and it just, see people knit and it just looks so joyful and zen and calm. And that's the kind of energy I think people want to bring to their home space.
Very much so.
So I love
that. It's interesting because I also have gotten into reading knitting books recently. And I've heard a couple people mention that to knit well, you have to sort of learn to relax while you're knitting. And like most things, when you're learning, your hands get kind of tense and your shoulders kind of ride up, you know, trying to figure out that movement of your hands. But part of the magic of knitting is creating and keeping this tension so that most of the loops are similar in size, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have to sort of relax into this rhythm and this motion to keep that appropriate amount of tension and figure out what that appropriate amount of tension is. It just gets very meditative and philosophical for me very quickly as you're hearing.
Yeah, right. I love it. That's gorgeous.
So that brings me to my shiniest of objects, my roller skates.
Oh yeah, girl. Yeah. Guys, I have to say, Laura has the best stories.
Yes, she does.
On Instagram, of teaching herself how to do roller skates. Do roller skates. You're doing those roller skates, girl.
Yeah. She's out there doing those roller skates.
She's doing them very, very beginner style.
Like, oh, it's such a pleasure.
Well, that's good to hear.
Oh, yeah.
It's taking a lot of the vulnerability, tolerance. To post these pictures of me doing really bad at roller skating. but we all have to be bad at something to be good at something.
It's true.
So that's part of the reason I'm sharing it, right?
And, like, and we're all beginners on some level of some, you know?
We're all beginners at something.
Yeah.
And if we're not beginners at something, then what are we doing? We're
right. Not learning anything. That's exactly it. Yeah.
We have to keep challenging ourselves. Yeah.
And she's
can I describe my roller skates?
Yeah, please.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So yes. Yes.
There is a worldwide shortage of roller skates right now, in case you did not know. It was really hard for me to find any roller skates in my size. So I really lucked out that I found this pair of Sure Grip Boardwalk skates, and they're suede. They're bright blue.
Yeah.
And I put black rainbow laces on them.
Yeah, you did.
And they have these pretty blue translucent outdoor wheels that sort of like show the sunlight through them if you catch them from the side. And they're that classic, like, I don't know if it's 70s or what, but retro, you know, ankle boot with a little heel kind of vibe. And I put them on and I'm just like, oh, like, it doesn't matter how bad I look on them. I just feel cool. And Yeah.
Well, you look great in them.
A lot. And I wear the big knee pads, but the roller skates themselves are real, real nice. So
yeah,
that's my shiny option.
I love it. It's great. I love it. And if anybody does know Laura out there and is listening, you'll know that the last thing I thought really freaking cool about Laura was that you were doing like circus training.
Uh-huh.
You were,
right, yeah.
Like doing the silks and everything and like learning how to
suspend yourself.
Suspend. Uh-huh. And yep. Oh my gosh, I thought that was so amazing. You're just always challenging yourself, Laura. I love that.
Well, I like to. I like to be in my body that way. Like, I like to learn new things kinesthetically, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like to learn by feeling something I've never felt before and then trying to figure that out or make that more comfortable, you know? I may or may not be a little bit of an adrenaline junkie as well. but I have one of the circus trainers is doing figure skating and wants to do figure skating trapeze stuff. So that had me thinking, ooh, maybe I could do something in the hoop or on the trapeze with my roller skates eventually.
Yes.
I'm out of practice with circus right now, but one day that would be cool, right?
Yeah. It would be rad.
Do a little skate routine and then get in the air.
Oh my gosh.
Hell yeah.
Laura.
Really nice.
Woo, making my dreams so, come true through you.
A plus.
All right. So getting a little more practical, number five is a leather-bound notebook. I often have many of these lying around, mostly moleskins, but also just like traditional leather. And the leather for me is becoming more important because as I learn more, especially about herbalism and write down some of my recipes and spells and things that I'm working on with my therapist or in my dreams, you know, I want to refer back to the things I'm writing down and I don't want them to get lost. So I like to have a nice journal that keeps well and stacks well and I can look back at.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And I usually have two or three going at once. Speaking of herbs, the next thing is not an herb at all, but my hiking boots. I really love these LEMS boulder boot, they're called. LEMS, L-E-M, stands for Live Easy and Minimal. Mm. And it's this company that makes a barefoot-style hiking boot, meaning it's a super thin piece of plastic on the bottom. So it feels very natural when I'm walking in the woods. Mm. And I literally have four pairs of these hiking boots. I'm like a little embarrassed to say that, but...
Well, it's on your top 10. You don't have to be embarrassed about that.
I wear them until I wear through the Vibram sole, until like my little heel's poking through, and then I get more. And I usually have two pairs at once, so that at least one of them is still waterproof. This was the hardest part. I think you will appreciate this, both of you. The body care products, personal care items.
Yep.
I struggled to narrow this down to just two. It took me forever. If I had
we feel you, bro.
It was so hard. I had to pick an oil because I'm a massage therapist, and also because of the one thing that has really changed my skin, which really changed my overall perception of myself and my beauty physically. Mm-hmm. And rosehip oil is my favorite, but it is luxury, and I don't always have it, and I can live without it. I wanted to pick coconut, but it's useful for so many things, but it's not the one. The one I came down on was jojoba oil. Jojoba usually works for most skin types, and it's the most similar to your body's natural oils, your sebum. It's what I have read, what I understand it to be. So... Mm-hmm. It feels really gentle on my own skin, and I can use it as an overall moisturizer. You can use it as a makeup cleanser. You know, I use it on my face, and it works wonders. It looks great. So that's the one I came down on.
Beautiful.
And the next is, this was really hard too, but Dr. Bronner's.
Half
file soap, because again, sometimes I'm traveling and this could be in a pinch laundry detergent. It could be shampoo. It could be toothpaste. It could wash my whole body, including my face. Could do the dishes if I'm camping. So I almost always have at least a small thing of Dr. Bronner's on me.
What's your scent?
I'm right now looking at the baby unscented.
Oh, baby unscented.
That's me. That's me too, girl.
Oh,
I live for
baby.
It.
Baby. Yeah.
It's on my list.
Oh, it's on your list.
I've got the scentsy skin.
Yeah. Me too.
You never know.
I'm the lavender gal. I really like lavender a lot. It's my favorite. Not on my list, though.
Peppermint gets a lot of use in my home, too. But
sure.
That's not my favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, that was hard. There's so many more in that pile. But we're going to move on to something that's like a little more eccentric. Which is my sourdough starter.
Oh, yay! Laura!
Are you clapping?
Yes! I love this.
Donna wants to know if you named it.
No.
Yeah. No? Okay.
No, but when I feed it, it bubbles up in this way that I do feel affection for it at this point. Like the thing happens in my chest that happens when I look at my dog, you know?
Oh, the serotonin levels.
Oh, yeah. That's so nice. I feel this lovely affection towards the sourdough starter. And I don't quite travel with it yet, but I have twice. So, you know, if I'm going somewhere and I can't feed it, I might take a little bit to continue feeding it or to bake something out of it when I arrive. And it came from a friend. And that feels special. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And I struggled to keep sourdough starter in particular alive in the past in a way that I haven't struggled with pets or houseplants or other things that could have easily been on this list. So I think part of it is I'm just proud that I have maintained this sourdough starter for a year.
What do you make with it? Donna wants to know.
Bread, baguettes, bagels, cinnamon rolls, donuts.
Donuts. No.
Oh, yeah.
That's so cool.
Dinner rolls. You know, bread stuff.
You know.
Bread thing.
The huge.
Oh my gosh.
That's fantastic, Laura. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And the very last will not surprise you, a field guide. And I have this hand-me-down copy of a Peterson field guide of edible wild plants.
Excellent.
That came from my dad's uncle, who was an outdoorsman. And I don't always take the same field guide with me, but I always have at least a field guide with me at this point.
Yeah. It's
usually either some version of edible wild plants like this, or wildflowers, or trees, or maybe if I'm going somewhere where I don't know the birds or the bugs as well, you know, bring something related to the fauna. But yeah, I just padded it affectionately.
I love that it's like a part of your family legacy too. That's so cool.
Yeah. Me too.
I actually have a whole set also from my father-in-law because he did some field work as a part of his job, and he has many field guides that he passed on to. So I have a bunch of guides from both sides of my family, which is cool.
Wow. Love it. Love it, love it.
If you couldn't get any cooler.
I know, right? There it is.
Thank you for sharing,
Laura.
That.
Thank you. I raised my glass to you, my friend. Raising a glass to our friend.
To Laura.
Yes, to Laura.
Cheers. I raise it back to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. My first item on the list is a rose hydrosol, otherwise known as rose water.
Me too.
Yes, that was a near addition to my list.
Well, isn't it just delightful?
Yeah.
It is.
I really love, I've used, Evan Healy is a brand that makes rose hydrosol. I really love that brand a lot. Right now I have Heritage Botanicals. You can find that at a lot of natural food stores. I don't have a brand favorite. I just love to use it. I use it every single day. I use it after I wash my face. I use it as a refresh. I use it as an emotional pick-me-up. Because rose, as we all know, is a delightful plant ally that nourishes our heart on a spiritual level. And that's one of the reasons why I love rose water so much. The other reason why I use it is because my great-grandmother, Hazel, used it. And I have such fond memories of like seeing her in her, you know, in her self-care routine, taking care of her face and things. And she would spritz herself with rose water twice a day. And so it's a nice little, you know, homage to one of my ancestors who's passed on. My second thing is an item that I personally make. and this is Land Spirits Heal All Balm. This is a salve that is made with two different oils that have been infused with plantain leaf, which is a plant that you can commonly find in yards and in all sorts of wild spaces as well. And then also self-heal, same sort of thing. And both of these plants are really excellent at nurturing and caring for our skin. And I tend to have paper cuts and dry bits and, you know, all sorts of things going on with my body. And so this is something that I use every single day. Every single day, hands down. Cuticle cream, lip balm, fresh tattoos. I fell in the yard. I scraped my knee open. I can use it on that. It's basically like it's my go-to.
Mm-hmm. Marnie stole my other one. She keeps stealing it from me. Yeah, she does.
Marn, mm-hmm. Come on, girl.
She does.
Well, she can. I'll send one home with you. But anyway, so I really love it. It is my go-to. I have a little container of it pretty much in every single spot in the house. So it's great. Next item on the list. As many of you know, I have very long hair. It's everywhere. And so it's kind of a thing to deal with and wrangle. And so I use a wide tooth comb every single day.
I love a wide tooth comb.
Oh, girl.
It's like this big.
It's really long. I've been using a wide tooth comb since like forever ago. I really love it because I can not just like, you know, manage it, but also comb conditioner through it and things. Mm-hmm. So it's really something that I use in the shower every day to maintain these long, luscious locks of mine.
Same. Since I was a kid, I've been doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an essential.
It is.
It's a part of our top 10 essentials.
See, this is why we need to have like 1,010
yes.
essentials.
I agree.
At least I do.
I'm with you on that. The next one is a little bit metaphysical, and that is smoky quartz. Mm. I love, mm-hmm. I adore mm-hmm. a good smoky quartz, and every single one of them are good. I have it on me. True. All day long, every single day in some form. Sometimes I'm taking it as an elixir as well. It's just, it's so grounding.
Mm-hmm.
And my personal temperament is very anxious. And so it's really nice to be able to have that presence to kind of keep my feet on the ground, keep my head in the game. Next on my list is a little bit of a luxury, and I'm changing it. Donna's looking at my list, but I'm changing it. It is a perfume. It's my signature perfume.
Oh,
it's by, by a brand called Noat, N-O-A-T.
I love their stuff.
Their stuff is incredible. It's all natural. It's made with resins and natural oils. I found them at a beautiful shop in Austin, Texas mm-hmm. called Take Heart. Donna, who's a musician, she goes around a lot playing shows, la la la. I, you know, was fortunate enough to go with her. And we got to explore this really amazing place anyway. And they had a number of Noat, roll-on perfumes, and I just fell head over heels with Anima. Anima, A-N-I-M-A, not Enema.
Oh, I love it.
Donna. Anyway, so at that time, I put it on myself and then we left and I was just like, I was obsessed.
I'm so happy to know this.
I was obsessed uh-huh. with it. And I actually made, I didn't make, but like I kindly asked if we could go back to this shop so I could buy it because I couldn't live without it. And ever since then, you know, it's been my jam.
I'm going to be carrying their atmospheric scents in the shop.
Oh,
yeah.
That's beautiful.
They are transporting. Oh, do you know what I mean?
They're such
transporting scents.
Absolutely.
That they are a little bit of an investment.
They are. Yep.
But to me, scent and smell is so worthy.
Absolutely.
Of that.
I'm with you on that. And their business practices was really good.
Yep.
Awesome. The business itself is woman owned and it's just super cool.
I didn't know that.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Ooh, I'll give you my Anima tester.
Ooh. Thank you.
The spray.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so grateful.
Of course.
Next on my list.
Well, what do you say we're going to change it?
What?
You said I'm going to change it.
Yeah. So I was looking at this and I was like, you know what? I did it right in time. I did it. Number six, my friends.
Just skirting right over it.
I do what I want.
Speaking of skating, skating right by.
Chacos. Chacos. Footwear. Chaco. Chaco. C-H-A-C-O. Chacos. Sandals in particular. They're hiking sandals. I cannot live without. I would wear it. Wear them 365 days out of the year if I didn't live in Pennsylvania and it didn't snow. I love their sandals so much.
I do. I know this to be true.
It's true. They're just, they're comfortable. They have beautiful arch support. I've hiked a million miles in them. They're just fantastic. You can get the soles replaced. You can get the webbing replaced. So like, you know, they're very environmentally friendly. They're A+ in my book. Love them. Yeah.
Chacos. You both have footwear. I bet you we all have footwear.
I bet you we do too.
Hey. I bet we do.
Hey. Number seven is going to be the PG Tips Black Tea. Yes, I know. This is a tea.
When you said
from...
PG Tips, I thought it was going to be, you know, kid friendly.
Oh.
That's what I thought too.
Like, what is she gonna say?
No, my friends, this is a hot beverage that I have at least once a day.
It's a hot beverage. What's the PG stand for?
Well, you know what? I don't
know. Pettigrew and Grain?
That sounds good.
Doesn't that sound nice?
That sounds really nice and fancy. I don't know what it stands for. I just know it's delicious.
Okay.
It's a British tea.
Donna, it absolutely is Pettigrew and Grain.
It has to be. Donna's going to get our box so that we can tell you how big of our investment it is.
Oh. So this is for real.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
Without a doubt. How many bags are in that box, my love? 240 bags of PG Tips.
I'd love to take one home and try it. You can
absolutely, without a doubt.
240, I'm not sure we can spare.
We get them in bulk. So when you were like, I buy two of my things, I'm like, yes, girl. Yeah. Like, this is, we never are out of this. It's delicious tea. It's so good.
Now, do you drink it black or do you put milk and sugar or how do you take it?
Well, usually it is black, but occasionally I will put a dollop of cream in it.
I have to get this for my friend Hillary.
Oh, it's so delicious.
Her mom's from England. Aww. And she would say always these things.
Uh-huh. Have a
cuppa.
Do you
fancy a cuppa? Shall I pop the kettle on?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you for sharing.
PG Tips. Delicious. Next item on the list, my number eight.
Number eight?
Mm-hmm.
Going too fast.
I know, right?
I'm having too much fun.
It's so much fun. Dr. Tungs, T-U-N-G-S, dental tape. Can't live without it. Love it. It's dental floss. Yes. My teeth are very tight. And I had braces and everything. I know, right? So like normal floss, I can't use it. I can't get between the spaces of my teeth. And it just, it's not, my day is not complete. Again, without PG Tips and flossing my teeth with Dr. Tungs. I can't do it.
Wait, so the floss itself is thinner?
No, it's like
flat.
It's woven and it stretches. Ooh. And it also is cardamom flavored, which is really nice.
Ooh.
And cardamom oil has a nice like antiseptic quality, so it's really good for gum health as well. It also is really strong, and that's one of the problems that I have. I tend to like my teeth tend to break. Right. Yeah. My teeth shred regular dental floss. So it's like, what am I doing with my life if I can't floss my teeth?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's always nice to go to the dentist.
What are you doing with your life?
What?
People have spoken. They need to know.
What are you doing with your life? Yeah. I mean, when your dentist is like, man, your gums are really nice and healthy. You just want to pat yourself on the back.
Yeah. Yeah.
You accomplish something.
You feel good. Yeah.
Yeah.
You really have, because I'm sitting here thinking, just wow, you floss your teeth every day.
I do. At least once a day.
I know. It's impressive.
Well, thank you very much.
Both of you are really showing off with your knitting and your roller skating and your fucking PG Tips.
and your flossing.
My soul is going to just shine right on through here.
Well, just you wait for number nine, my friend. Are you ready for this?
Catalogs.
Scotch.
Yes.
Scotch, my friends.
Waiting for the tape.
I mean,
scotch tape.
Nope. The adult beverage.
You like the Ron Swanson kind?
I love scotch so much.
You
too. I don't drink it every day, but I always have a bottle of it in the house.
Yeah.
Lagavulin is my favorite. Yeah. Right now we have Balvenie. My sweet love always gets me a bottle of it for some sort of holiday. I always have it. It's fucking delicious. I can't live without it.
I think it tastes like smoky Band-Aids.
Oh, it's so good.
Do you think it tastes like smoky Band-Aids?
You like it too,
Band-Aids?
Lauren?
I do.
Laura, you like it?
I don't know that I've had the brand that you're mentioning. I like all of the family.
You like the family. Oh, it's so good. Yeah. I mean, Donna's, do you think it's like smoky Band-Aids?
It's just like when people say cilantro tastes like soap. Uh-huh. Yes, you're absolutely right. But I also love it.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
I'm not hurt over. I'm doing a disservice to my Scottish clan by saying, you know, to the tartan, right?
Right.
By saying... It tastes like smoky Band-Aids.
It does. It's like, you know how I always say ancestral foods, you know?
Did you acquire a taste for it?
I've always loved it.
Did you immediately just be like, this
always.
Is for me?
It's absolutely, sign me up.
All right, I'm not closing the book on this yet. Marnie is also a scotch lover and drinker, loves her scotch.
Marnie.
I always thought, like, when a person loves scotch, that was just a real tough dame, you know? Like, what a broad.
Yeah, right.
I mean that in the most wonderful,
well, thank you,
kind way. Just like just tough as nails, but also classy, chic, and wise. Well, is kind of, which is what I think a dame and a broad.
I'm with you.
Defines
on that.
As
I'm with you. I agree.
Somebody
with
that can't be held by anybody else.
Hell no,
right?
Yeah. Well, I'm a scotch drinker. I love it. It's number
I love
nine
your number
on my
nine.
List.
I love your number nine.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Okay.
Number 10, my friends.
Oh God, here we go.
We're going to learn a little bit about
catalogs.
Allison Page. No, as a matter of fact, but that's really funny. Everybody knows I like a good catalog. In fact, I got three of them today in the mail. It's really nice. Nice and relaxing. No, but catalogs are not on my list. Number 10 are nail clippers.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yes. So a little tidbit about Allison Page. I, as I said before, am an anxious person. I've inherited a wonderful, wonderful habit from my mother of picking at my cuticles. And my sweet, sweet friend, Leslie, also knows what I'm talking about here.
Yes, I do.
So I have nail clippers on the first floor of our house, our second floor of our house. I also have it in my apron at my day job. I have them there. I always have nail clippers so that I can take care of any kind of stragglers that I picked open so that I don't keep hurting myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Smart.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. So nail clippers are number 10.
I love it. I have also
that's a
adopted.
Good list.
Yeah.
That's
thank you.
A great list. Cheers to your list.
Cheers to the list, everyone.
Cheers to your
clink,
list.
Clink.
As I started to put these things together, in fact, be known that I am a high maintenance person. And so I started to, you know, I watched the YouTube clip that you sent over of Trixie's Essentials.
Wasn't that fun?
Yeah, it was awesome. And I really tried to nail it down here. So I'm going to start with, I'm just going to share what I
just
have
nailed yourself.
Down. Okay.
So I love you. I think you should just be yourself, my friend.
Okay. So my very first essential is eating and drinking.
Yes!
Yay!
That's mine too.
I love to eat and drink. And I have things that I have to constantly have in the home. One of them is peppermint tea.
Yes.
And any kind of bubble. So like a seltzer is typically what I'll buy. It's like a seltzer or Topo Chico is something that I buy in bulk.
So good. So good. What, do you have a brand of peppermint tea that you
I just,
have?
No,
doesn't matter.
I don't. I actually don't. Just Wegmans.
Sure. Yeah.
And then wine, you know, fortunately, unfortunately, wine is always in my home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Pinot Grigio drinker. I love a bottle of Pinot Grigio called Chris.
Chris.
If I were to drink red wine, it would be a Pinot Noir.
Oh, a Pinot Noir.
There you have it. And I actually like a brand called Pepper Grove.
Pepper Grove.
And it's under 10. Yes. And it is really fantastic.
We've had that together, as a matter of fact.
Yes, I have brought the Pepper Grove, haven't I?
And we had a little theme song for that, for that brand.
Pepper Grove! Pepper Grove! I remember.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And then I can't go without pasta.
Oh, yes!
We have pasta at least once a week in my house.
Yes, girl.
The creamier, the better.
Oh, so good. Yeah,
I'm an angel hair girl.
Angel hair, yes, girl. Mm, yes, yes.
Cappellini.
Yes.
I love angel hair.
Wait, you're all on the angel hair train?
No.
I don't know why, but I'm so surprised. Okay, Donna's not.
What's your pasta of choice, Laura?
I usually go for a shorter noodle, like a penne or what's the curly one called?
Farfalle.
Yeah, farfalle. The bow ties. Is that a bow tie? Is that farfalle?
Are you a bow tie?
Are you a bow tie?
Those are my everyday pasta.
I also have an obsession with buying lemons. I buy lots and lots of lemons. I put lemon in everything that I eat.
Good.
What's your favorite pasta?
What's my favorite pasta?
Yeah.
Do I have one?
Do you?
Just in front of me.
Tortellini?
Just whatever pasta.
Whatever. I fucking love pasta. I don't care what shape it is or size it is. I wouldn't push a plate away.
I would not push a plate away.
Just give me a big bowl. I don't care. Butter? Red sauce?
Yeah.
Vodka sauce?
Maybe your
oh, I love a vodka sauce.
Cream sauce? Donna thinks my favorite is spaghetti. Sure.
Do you?
Sounds good.
You like the bigger noodle.
I honestly love it all.
A little bit more girth in your noodle.
I love
it
all. I don't care. Just give me it.
I do a vodka sauce, cream, like tomato basil cream sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Alfredo sauce.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite brand of sauce, or are you gonna make it yourself?
Rao's.
Rao's
Arrabbiata is my favorite. Yeah, it's so good. It is the best.
Forget about it.
Yeah. And then any form of chocolate and peanut butter, namely Trader Joe's chocolate covered peanut butter filled pretzels.
Ooh.
Whoa.
It's just
I haven't had those.
Oh, I haven't had
Laura,
them either.
I'll bring some over next time we see her. I'll just
Is it like a pillow?
It is like a pillow.
Is it like a pillow?
It is.
How delightful.
It is. It's truly delightful. Mm. We do buy those in bulk.
I believe it.
So, hey folks, I was really, when I was thinking about this, I was like, what do I buy in bulk?
Yeah.
So just to kind of prevent. Okay.
I'm loving this.
Okay, so my next essential is to divine and to connect with spirit.
Oh,
and so that
friend.
Is something that I do every day. And so my kind of, my essential for that is my tarot pouch. I have this woven bag full of a couple different tarot decks that I use, a couple protective talisman bags that I have in there. A protective set of beads that I wear from time to time when I read. And I have some stones in there as well, namely selenite, blue kyanite, and black tourmaline. Beautiful. Those are my, very much like my connection. And fluorite is another stone that I do read with quite a bit. Yeah. So eat, drink, number one, divine and connect, number two.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love where this is going, too.
Do you like this?
I do. It's like categories.
Yeah, it is categories.
Yeah.
So my third category is listen. And I have to listen to music every day. And it's usually some Donna and I, she's thankfully always sending me some great tunes. And then I remember the other day, she goes, you didn't send me this? She sent me this. I like this. So I love celestial tones. I love atmospheric sounds.
The celestial tones.
I do. It's always like I have to hear some kind of ooing and aahing and angelic or chanting or something or just like a singing bowl or a binary beat or something. Like I have to hear it every day. Mm-hmm. So listening is a huge part. It's also a huge part of my life because I was so involved with music for so many years of my life. So it feels weird to not be doing something with it every single day.
Yeah. What's your go-to artist in this moment?
In this moment, keep pulling up and listening to Juliana Barwick.
Nice. Yeah. We're a big fan in this house, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We listen to her a lot.
But I was listening a lot of Eno today. I was listening to a lot of Brian Eno.
Nice. Oh, I love his.
I know. God. And there's another really beautiful, beautiful band out there. Donna, write this down. I think it's Ruth and Bing, or Bing and Ruth. So yeah, that's what I'm listening to now. Number four, Express. I have to express myself every single day. And usually how I do that is through what I wear. So I express myself through fashion, and often you'll see me wear some form of bell bottom, of which I own many pairs, or a 4-inch clog wooden heel, of which I own many pairs. But also to say, like, I buy a lot of things secondhand.
Yes,
I don't buy.
Yep.
So it's either vintage or it's secondhand via eBay, Etsy, or Poshmark. I'm finding secondhand goods.
Mm-hmm. So, I love your sense of style.
Do you?
I do.
I do too.
I myself am a huge fan of the bell bottom on other people. It doesn't look quite right on me, but I love, like, I remember when I met you for the first time, Leslie.
Yes.
You were wearing these wild bell bottoms that had like crazy paisley like colors on them and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, I need to know her. Like, so fucking cool.
I enchant a lot of people with my glamour.
It's true.
I glamour you with my style.
And you did.
You totally do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Love it.
Yep.
Thank you. Yep. Yeah, I do. I love to dress. It's dress, just like music, dress has been an essential part of my every single day activity for as long as I remember being a little girl. So it's essential to me to dress and to shop and to search and to hunt and support and buy secondhand and buy vintage. Communicate is my fifth most essential thing. I communicate with people every day. Mercury is very strongly in my chart. Mm-hmm. I am, I would say, 60-40 Mercury. And so to teach, to connect, to be social, to interact, to read for others, to connect via, you know, so my iPhone and my iPad are two very essential tools that I use every single day that are important to me to connect. I call my mother and my sister every single day. I'm always on the phone talking with somebody when I'm not, you know, busy doing other things. So connecting is a huge essential part of my everyday life. Movement is another really important activity. Now, I don't actually exercise or anything, but to sway and to move and to, like, I've started to find that a huge part of how I do spell work is through movements, which has kind of come to me recently, like, especially over the last couple of years, I've noticed that it just kind of naturally happens through me. Yeah, like weird
dances,
like, yeah, it's like positions that will come through when I'm doing spell work, and I don't it works through me. I don't kind of a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a lot of fast movements, a lot of like shapes, a little bit of this,
punching,
a whole lot of that.
Oh,
we know what this is, don't we? Laura, I'm putting my one finger through the holes of my other fingers.
You know what that means. Laura, if you can imagine it.
That's a movement I need to do every day. Oh, but I don't. So, so movement
is good for the health.
Yeah. Yeah. Movement is essential for me, being on the go, moving around, swaying, it activates everything. Okay, another essential, number seven, learning and growing is a huge part of my, like, so every day I'm reading something or I'm trying to activate my mind a little bit more or grow it. And so I have like a stack of books that I'm constantly reaching for every single day.
And it's always nonfiction, right?
It is. Mm-hmm. And it's, and like I was telling Jim, I'm like, wow, I've always bought like books on witchcraft and fashion. It's always been like, you know, fashion, you know, history of fashion or something like that. Or I'm always learning about line or textile or, you know, designers. And I'm so fascinated with designers and their lives, especially knitwear, Laura, too. But then a lot of witchcraft too. So like just a stack of books by my ready every day so I can just pull and open it up and do work from there. Number eight, and now we're getting a little bit more back into product, but self-care. And so salt baths are huge. So I buy salt in bulk, just
tons and tons of salt. Because I'm doing salt baths, you know, at least 2 days a week, which isn't that much, but I'm using a lot of salt when I do it. So salt is a huge essential for me, of which I buy in bulk. And another thing that I buy in bulk are those, you'll have to help me with this, kasha or acacia. Or acacia. Mm-hmm. They're like the little mineral bath packets.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like ones like chamomile, patchouli.
Yeah, they're like foaming baths sorts of things. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I love those. Mm-hmm. And so I will buy 4, 5, 6 of those at a time because they're nice and they're not that expensive.
Yep. And they're portioned too. Yeah. Like a lot of people are like, how much of this stuff do I put in my bathtub?
Oh, I pour the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like one sachet is like one bath. So anyway.
Okay. So number 9, touch and feel. Mm-hmm. So I'm a sheet freak and I'm really obsessed with bedding and I'm, I am so obsessed with bedding. I'm so obsessed with pillows. I'm mostly a linen flannel person because I like the nubby texture of things because I like to rub my feet around. When I get into bed, I rub my feet feverishly all around and do a lot of friction so that I can feel the nubbiness of the flannel.
I love it.
You know what I mean?
I do.
And then sometimes I'll have like a sheepskin. Sheepskin is another like major essential that's on my...
Yes.
Oh, because it just...
It was a near miss for me too.
Yeah, I can take it anywhere. I can sit on it and we can snuggle with it or it just feels good to touch. Yeah. It's like I have a sheepskin on every bed and every surface of my home. When it starts getting cold, I pull the sheepskins out. And with that, touch and feel is my tassel, which is my silk tassel. That I have to, Lord, do you know this about me? I have a little tassel. I have to touch it all the time.
Tell me more. Tell me everything.
She's doing the motion with her hands, but she doesn't have the tassel with her.
I have a tassel.
Well, is it something that you wear or is it something
sometimes?
That
you
I
can.
Tell me about the tassel.
I grope it lovingly and play with it lovingly. I have a to-go tassel in the car that hangs off of my gear shift that I play with.
Did you call it a to-go tassel?
It's a to-go tassel.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, for a tassel lover on the go.
I love it.
I'm crying.
I have a very old one that I hide at my mom's when I go home just in case I forget one. And
oh my God.
I have.
Can I ask you a question about this, Leslie?
Yes.
Seriously?
This is
me. Okay. Yes, so please. I have a cousin who used to, I don't know if they do this anymore, but when she was a little girl, she liked to take hold of someone's long hair that was in a ponytail and like feel the end.
Yeah.
Like this.
That's what I do. I do that with
like
mine.
Is it like that? Is it like?
Yeah. I have to touch the ends, Laura.
You're touching the ends.
I'm touching the ends.
Right?
It's the pointy part of the end. But then sometimes I have to take the tassel between my two fingers and pull my fingers down and feel it go deep into my finger.
I love this so much because we don't often honor how physical touch is so important to us as human beings. And all of us do shit like this.
This really should be number one because
it honestly should be.
I've tried to break the habit so many times and I can't.
You shouldn't.
I bought 60 yards of French silk tassel on eBay last Christmas.
Yeah, you did.
Wow.
You brought it over here too.
Did I bring
it
over?
You brought it over. Yep. A piece of it.
So it's not just one tassel. It's like you gift yourself new tassels.
Well, yeah, because over time they get grungy. So basically, my sister and my mother had originally gifted me like, I guess you could call it like upholstery trim.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you would put like around a couch or like
a lampshade or something.
Lampshade or a footstool. And so that was the original gift. And, sometimes I would just go and just buy like a tie back tassel and use that. But now it's become
Higher end.
Yes. And luxury. Now what I do, Laura, if you're curious, I will count about, I'll count about five tassels and then I'll cut it.
Uh-huh.
And then I've got five different tassels to work with. And if you must know, they come in gold, green, like a green, like a sage green, yes. and then like a burgundy color. And I find that the yellow ones are the most.
It's the best.
They're the best to touch.
I believe
just
it.
Just so you know.
Where do you hide the tassel at your mom's?
It's up in a bookshelf off to the right, up high.
So that no one sees it. Oh.
And since she, like, my mother fully supports this, has all of our life, because my mother has a ribbon that she calls her bribbon.
Her bribbon?
It's a bribbon, and it's a silk ribbon that she rubs on itself, right? Like, so she'll like fold it in half and like rub it.
I'm into
like
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's genetic. It's inherited. Yeah. It's ancestral.
It is ancestral.
And that's, any other questions?
I just
touch and feel.
No. Well, I do have a fashion related question. Yes. I feel like I've seen you wear tassels.
Yes.
Like maybe as a belt or maybe as a necklace. Am I remembering this correctly?
Yes, of course you are. And did you look over at one point and see me fondle it? Be like, why is she touching that tassel?
I don't remember. And if I did, I'm sure that I was in full support and it didn't think anything of it at the time.
I bought a couple years ago from my dear friend Nick, who's incredible, like the printer's cabinet in Oil City.
Yeah.
He's such great stuff, very like obscure curiosities. And he had this like Copal amber lariat. I wear it a lot and it's got a big orange tassel. Yep. And that's usually like my, like, that's like, I can't get through the day. So I'm just going to wear my tassel all day and play with it.
Yeah.
It's definitely anxiety. It's very fidget oriented.
Oh, and absolutely it is.
Because I won't pick at my cuticles if I'm playing with
that. I'm doing it right now, girl. Yeah. I'm doing it right now.
So Sheet Freak, texture, tassel, touch, feel. And then my 10th essential is my beauty regimen.
Yeah. What is it?
It's all rose. Oh, it's all rose related. It's the rose water.
Yeah.
It's the rose hip oil. Because I broke out so much throughout my 20s and into my 30s. And I could not figure out what would just calm my skin down. And I finally came through trial and error. Used to use a lot of black African soap.
Mm-hmm.
And then I switched to Dr. Bronner's Baby Unscented to clean my face, and then the rose water, the rose hip, the rose day cream by Dr. Hauschka.
Yep, that's perfect. Yeah, that's a beautiful product. Yeah.
And then there's this rose lip balm that I love too, and then my rose Peace Rose soap by Shea Moisture that I love so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I was laughing because you were talking about Dr. Tongues, and I'm obsessed with the tongue cleaner.
Oh, that's a good one,
Have you, Laura, have you ever scraped stuff off your tongue with a tongue cleaner before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
it's
I have. Gross.
It's surprising, isn't it?
Yeah.
But now that I'm learning tongue assessment, I'm much more curious than interested in solving it, if that makes sense.
Really? Ooh, tongue assessment.
Yeah, because some people want to brush their teeth and scrape their tongue or brush their tongue before sticking their tongue out at an herbalist who asks them to. But then we're missing out on information up there.
Because you can read the body of that way.
Well,
so now if I, for example, see a thin white coating on my tongue, think like, oh, I need to maybe work on my immune system or change something in my diet. Something's not quite working here rather than scraping it off. And amazingly, to me, because I'm new to looking at my tongue in the mirror and thinking about it in this way, if you do make the change, then the tongue also changes. So pretty neat stuff.
That is really cool. And you don't get that whenever you scrape your tongue all the time.
Well, then you better take a look at my tongue.
Because I would love to look at your tongue.
I think I've got work to do. I scraped my tongue one day. I'm like, Olivia, have you ever seen this? And I scraped my tongue and I think she threw up in her mouth.
Oh.
So then all of the kids got tongue scrapers for Christmas the next year because I was like, you got to clean it.
Yeah, so my beauty regimen. And the last thing on my list with my beauty regimen is liquid eyeliner and mascara.
Fuck yeah.
Concealer.
Do you have brands? Like tried and true brands? What are they?
Tried and true brands. Okay. Mm-hmm. So for liner, I was always a L'Oreal liquid liner girl. Yeah. And not in a pen, but in like the little gray bottle. I was raised on that.
Like with the the tip brush at the end?
Yeah, it's like a painter's brush. So it's like a gold cap and a little gray bottle and you unscrew it and do it that way.
I've never learned how to do that.
I always go back to that. I used to watch my mom do it as a little girl. Like she used to do her makeup every day. Like she'd sit on the edge of her bed and do her makeup. And I would just sit there with my tassel.
Sure.
And watch her just in amazement because my mother had
fascinating.
This incredible ability. Like my father would always say to my mom, well, honey, you really do transform with a little makeup. You know, you're completely different when you're not wearing it. And my mother would always be like, thanks a fucking lot, Jack. But it's true. Like the women, like my mom and I, we need makeup.
Yeah.
Some people may disagree, but we need makeup. We do really transform.
Well, it's just about how, like, are you feeling yourself?
I love the act of doing it. It's kind of part of the expression of it. You know, I love the liquid liner because it's just easy. It always looks good and it really accentuates the eye.
It sure does. Yeah.
So I do. I love L'Oreal's liner. And then there's a new brand out that I love called Surratt.
Surratt. How do you spell that?
S-U-R-R-A-T-T. Okay. And it's based on Japanese calligraphy. It's a Japanese line. And it's the shape of the pen that makes the cat eye so precise, which is beautiful. And then they have little like calligraphy. You remember like with a calligraphy pen, like a little filler cartridge?
Yeah.
They have like little filler cartridges.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So it kind of cuts down on waste, which I think is great too.
That's cool.
Tried and true mascara was always Dior Show and they discontinued it. So now I'm a Lash Paradise girl. L'Oreal. L'Oreal is, because I used to be a makeup artist. I worked in makeup for many years and L'Oreal is ultimately Lancome. They're the same company.
Yeah.
And like Dior, they all kind of cross over and they're through the same manufacturer. So it's a lot of the same ingredients and brush style and that kind of thing. So
that's so cool.
That'll do it.
Oh, Leslie, that'll your list is fantastic.
Wasn't that fun?
That is fun. See, we get to learn so much about each other. And
we did.
I just love it so much. It's a good time. All right. Are we ready for our questions?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do it. Anna from Maine writes, hey, Hags. I absolutely love your podcast. I've been binging to catch up. I have a question about animal meanings. I live in rural Vermont. We have lots of farms, fields, and animals around where I am. Over the past few years, it's become more apparent that I connect with the animals around me, specifically deer. Although deer in other parts of the state are very used to people being around, in this rural area I'm from, they are very much a wild animal. But on our walks, on our land, or even on horseback, deer never seem to mind when I'm around. Some even approach me without any incentive. I feel a connection to them, but I don't understand their deeper meaning or purpose. More importantly, the deer around me are typically rare. Piebald deer love me. A single antlered unicorn deer has been on my land regularly for a few years. And most recently, almost weekly, I have seen a melanistic deer. Ooh. These black deer are extremely rare. I mean, it took me about a month to realize it was truly a black deer. I feel such a presence when it's around, a deep peace like everything pauses. I am the only one to have seen this deer so far. I'm hoping you can shed some light and share some insight on what this could mean for me and my practice and how I can invite them or honor them. Stay healthy, stay strong, be well.
Oh, I love deer. Without getting too much into it, deer is always an indication to me that I'm on the right path and that I need to trust the healer within myself.
And deer have so much rich like symbolism in folklore as well. You know, it's a symbol of the spirit of the forest. It's a symbol of the god, the horned one. right? In a lot of pagan cultures. And they can be a symbol of grace. I often think of Kim Kranz's Wild Unknown deck, the mother deer, the queen of pentacles. I love that image so much.
I do too.
That tenderness, the fertility, those sorts of things. I wonder, since Anna, you have such a deep connection with them, if this could be, you know, a particular animal that is trying to teach you something about yourself. Deer are, again, like one of those resilient animals. You know, we have a very great population here in the city, here in Pittsburgh. And so they've figured out a way to live amongst us human beings, successfully. And they have a great deal of grace as well.
Deer have always been around, but I don't feel particularly connected to them. And I was going to ask you both, in general terms, when you're approaching animal medicine, are you drawing mostly on folklore and stories? My approach is to look at what the animal's behavior is, either individually or as a group or in relationship to the landscape, and draw from the strengths of that animal's natural behavior.
And for me, I think I always listen intuitively, like to any sort of interaction with any animal that is not domesticated to me is sacred and super special. I don't approach it from any sort of understanding of folklore or anything like that. I always approach it, like you said, Laura, like from this sort of intuitive space of like, oh, wait a second, what am I thinking right now? What was I feeling? What just came to pass? Do I have a question that I need to ask? Because I always feel like when they're showing up, it's an aspect of some unseen spirit, cosmic energy in which like there's a current open that I can say either to the animal or to myself, like, I am here to protect you, can feel safe with me, which, and then in turn answers to me, like, I'm to be trusted and that I can heal and that I can help. And so it's always funny when I like, I think a couple times I've been driving home from doing a podcast here at night, and I'm always, music's usually off. I don't listen to music as much in the car, actually. I like it to be silent. I think a lot in the car. And I was coming around a pass, and I was thinking, like, who am I? What am I, like, what, am I really able to do this work? Like, what is going on in this world? And this deer, I came, and this sweet deer just looked up at me very quickly. Just kind of came out of the shadow, came out of the brush. And I was like, of course you're able to do this work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think that is how I've always worked with animal connection, undomesticated or wild animal connection.
Yeah.
But I have always understood deer to be healing energy, regal energy, actually.
Yep.
Because they wear a crown.
Yeah, they do. They do indeed. Yeah, for me personally, it's a blend. It's a blend of both, you know, folklore and also, you know, the environmental cues and the behaviors of the animal and things like that. The other thing to consider, too, is that deer have been seen as food, as sustenance, you know, to other beings, be they other animals or humankind. So they oftentimes are also seen as symbols of abundance as well. But I do think that when they show up, it is a very special thing and a very sacred thing. I also, you know, get a lot of, feedback and validation from spirit when I see them as well. A funny side note, we call them, what do we, oh my God, it just... Baby outsides. That's right. Thank you. So our dog, our sweet dog Bean, who's sleeping right now, kind of like she has the coloring of our local deer. And so we call her Baby Inside, and then we call them Baby Outsides. And so like we'll literally be like, oh, Baby Outsides. They're in the field across the street. Anyway, that's a side note.
I love that.
Yeah, we have a doe and her two twins that hang out in our little neighborhood. So
I love that.
It's really fun to see them.
Baby outsides.
Oh, thank you, Anna, for writing in. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Could I add one thing to
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Because I'm realizing something that's a little more general than just deer, but it applies I guess I wait for there to be some kind of intuitive hit or maybe even a telepathic communique of some kind. And we all feel those with different beings, plants, animals, but it's just so interesting to hear you both have a connection. And I'm like, oh yeah, but I just think that there's maybe something in my yard they want to eat. They're there every day. For
that
me,
too.
It's like a very practical place where my brain goes to, but just with them, as we were just talking about crows, you know, when the crows show up, maybe it's just some good, some, you know, nice trees to roost in, but I think, oh, magical, it's for me, they're here for me. So I think trust your intuition too, if you're getting those intuitive hits or those messages that would be just for you, because I do think that there is something to that.
I agree wholeheartedly.
All right, we've got a question from Kit from Texas. Hello, I commented before in one of Leslie's TikToks asking about the meaning of pinching the bridge of an infant's nose. My great-grandmother used to do it, and it affected most of my family's nose shape, but none of us ever knew why. Another action of hers that I have a question about is if a hair and ring can really tell you how many children you are meant to have, and if so, what those children's gender will be. No one else in my family practices, but I'm waiting to learn and thought to ask about her before I really get started. Okay. So I've never heard of the pinching of the bridge of the nose.
Yeah, me neither. That's new to me.
And I did do a little bit of research on it just to see if there's folklore surrounding it. And I came up dry. I couldn't find anything. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I could find is that it is true that a lot of times when a natural birth, there can be some flattening of the nose, and that to pinch the bridge does indicate that it tries to make the nose pointy, but there's no actual proof that that happens, because the way that I've understood it, and Laura, with your expertise too, I think you can help with this. The child has already developed once they've come out, like the bone structure, the shape is already developed while it's inside the womb. So you can't you can't mold it anymore necessarily. I mean, I know like sometimes you can come out with a soft skull and you have to wear like a little helmet and everything just to protect yourself, but it's not really changing the shape of the head as I understand it.
Then, I also had to look this up. Yeah. And I did a little bit of research too, and I didn't find anything folkloric either, but I did find that some cultures do you think of this as a body modification process, the pinching of the nose to make it pointier. I can't recommend it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say that that is more potentially harmful than it could be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Babies are soft on purpose so they can get born most easily as possible, right? So not easy, but I do think that the cartilage is still developing, but I don't think it's wise to pinch that cartilage with the intent of body modification.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't know if that's what the intent was, because the writer doesn't say, and I don't know what culture it is, and I don't know exactly which cultures do that, but that's what my internet searching turned up as well.
Yeah, and I did see too, Laura, that it was actually more harmful than anything, because it can like mess with the nasal cavity.
Yep, and the sinuses. Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I found that as well. I also did a little bit of research.
So I'm like,
I think we all found the same thing.
The hair in the ring, I definitely am familiar with, and I've actually done work for people on this even before like my second, third awakening as a witch. Like it just intuitively, naturally came to me to do. And I did actually predict gender in quotes, because what does that even mean anymore?
Right, exactly.
But, it's ultimately just using, it's pendulum work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Pendulum work. Mm-hmm. You did successfully predict. I'm so impressed.
Thank you. You know, you can take a string or somebody like a strand of hair. I've never done the strand of hair, but that makes sense too. And then use the mother's ring.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, what I did was I just held it above the belly and one way for one gender and one way for the other gender.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a needle used as well.
Sure.
For the same purposes.
Yeah, it's anything creating that like fulcrum, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I guess this is one of those ethics and in magical practices thing.
Yeah.
You know, you can divine maybe a quote unquote gender, right? Or the number of children the word here is meant to have. But that kind of takes free will, both of the child unborn and the parents to be out of the equation. Mm-hmm. And I just want to reiterate that there is still free will. Even if someone predicted a certain number of children, you are allowed to make your own choices.
Mm-hmm.
Even if a certain gender is revealed in the divination process, it's ultimately up to the person who's yet to be born. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That's just where my mind and my heart goes when I get into the ethics of that in my brain.
Absolutely. And I actually talk to people about that in readings too. Like, whatever I divine with you here, you still have the ability to go on and make your own decision. This is not in stone.
Mm-hmm.
You can always change it, you know, because of free will.
Right.
So I agree with that.
Love it. Lauren from Connecticut writes, "Hi, Hags. My husband is in the military, so we're going to be consistently uprooting our lives and moving around for the next 5 years. I'm a new witch and have especially taken a liking to plant magic. I've created a pretty close bond with many of my houseplants, so when I need to move again next year, I don't know how to handle leaving my plants or what to do with them when the time comes. It's unlikely that I will be able to take them with me, as we'll probably be moving across the country. Any suggestions on how to proceed with this would be greatly appreciated. Much love for the podcast and for you two lovely witches. Blessed be."
Oh, it's so hard to part.
Oh, yeah. I mean, immediately what comes to mind is gifting them to people that you love and trust.
I have received, like, the Hoya plant, mm-hmm. and I have another cactus plant,
mm-hmm.
have been gifts from people that have moved on and left them with me. And that is, it almost feels like you have a greater responsibility to care
you
for
do.
It.
You do. Yeah.
You do.
And Donna brought me a plant too that was gifted to me also. So yeah, it is a greater responsibility.
Sure. Especially if, like, that person has been caring for the plant for a while or a number of years or whatever, and it turns out that they, you know, need to rehome it. It's just like finding a home for an animal, you know? It's the same sort of thing.
Yeah. There's often groups of plant house lovers who are happy to adopt, and both of those situations are how, I think this is correct, every single house plant I have is either from a friend who's moved, from a friend who had extras, or adopted from various Facebook groups and other internet groups.
Yeah.
People give away plants to other people who care all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's the loveliest way to deal with that situation, I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Hmm.
And, you know, I mean, of course, it goes without saying goodbye is important as well. I would say, you know, if you're still a bleeding person, kind of gathering some moon blood would be a nice thing to do to feed them. Donna's giving me eyeballs right now, but I think that would be a nice offering.
Is it too soon, Donna? Is it too soon?
Giving people your menstrual blood?
No, not the people, but the plants. So you feed the plants before you give them away. Donna. That's an idea if you're comfortable.
Donna.
I also really love putting crystals in them.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, kind of you've got some crystal friends around that you've discussed the parting with, and you say, okay, you know, amethyst, you're going to live with this little buddy, and that can give a little glow up to your plant friend as you pass them along to someone else. So that's always a nice thing to do, but always saying goodbye is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know,
Alina from New York. "Hello, loves. So I've recently started practicing witchcraft, and thank you, Leslie, on TikTok for introducing me to this podcast."
Hello.
Thank you, TikTok.
Thank you, TikTok. I got to get on this thing.
You do. And thank you. Dude, there's so many incredible souls and spirits and curiosities and just, you know, these people are just so ready to learn. And so
it's a good time.
I love TikTok for the fact that everybody's just ready. They're ready to learn and step up. So thank you, Alina, for being a supporter and giving us a message. So So I've recently started practicing witchcraft, but after being home for quarantine, I'm starting to think it goes back farther than that. I received a tarot deck from my mom when she was in college and found a crystal collection I had when I was a child. I love crystal magic, but I'm having trouble identifying the crystals. There are some that are more obvious than others, but many that I'm unsure of. Do you guys have a resource for crystal identification, or is it even important that I know what they are? I can get a vibe from each of them, which is what I guess is important, but I also wish I could call them by their names. Any help is appreciated. Lots of love, blessed be, and keep up the great work. Ah,
thanks, Alina. I don't really have an identification.
I love Judy Hall's I was crystal just Bible say, book. Yeah.
Yeah. The Crystal Bible is my go-to. Yeah. I love Judy Hall's work as well. The Crystal Bible is really easy to work with. It's all alphabetical. It's super rad. Sometimes I use it as like a oracle.
Yeah.
So if I don't have a crystal on me or whatever, I can just be like, who wants to talk to me right now? And then I just flip it open and
interject something?
I would love it.
You can still receive benefits by looking at a picture of a crystal. Mm-hmm. You can still receive.
Isn't that cool?
The benefits
of
it. That's
so cool.
Yeah. And I'm sure with plants too.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love that you use it as an oracle. But yeah, mm-hmm. so Judy Hall's Crystal Bible.
It's the best.
Bible of Crystals, Crystal Bible.
It's Crystal Hall? Bible.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But I also have to say, always send me pics. Send me your crystal pics.
There we go.
And I have done some quick identification. I am not a know-it-all in this department.
You do know a lot, though.
I'm comfortable
you
with.
You do know
I've
a lot.
Seen enough, but... I don't know it all, but I can do my best or point you in the right direction. But thank you both for saying that. I also want to just say, I don't think that it's important that you know
either.
Their names, because ultimately, I think of stones, I'm sure as the both of you think of plants as like, they're allies. And so they don't, it's almost like their name is like, hey, I'm Stuart.
Yep.
And I'm Jane. You know, like, I just don't feel like it's so important for you, like, for you to know the name. I think it's more, Donna?
How can you tell, if you don't know what kind of stone or crystal it is, how can you tell if it's safe to put it in water?
Oh. Well, ultimately, if it's sort of mineralized and dusty or breaky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It has a stridation.
Right. Yep. So blue kyanite, mm-hmm. black kyanite,
yep.
black tourmaline, selenite, right. malachite, a lot of those. Mm-hmm. Any sulfurs, desert rose, anything that could break down or creates dust is probably not going to be safe to put in the water. Ultimately, like an understanding, your safety spots or your quartzes.
Quartzes.
So
are
quartz,
my favorite.
Crystal or smoky quartz or amethyst or rose quartz, because ultimately, all of those, like amethyst is violet quartz, mm-hmm. which is so lovely.
So
they're
beautiful.
All quartz friends. So those are usually safe. Mm-hmm. Even fluorite's one that isn't safe. So if it's dusty, breakable, breaks apart easily, sheds. I think is a great way of saying it that I wouldn't put it in the water.
There's also an app that I really love.
Yeah.
And that is simply called Stone. It's visually gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, a compendium of every single, you know, rock formation ever, but it certainly is really nice, especially for people who are just getting started to interact with the vibes, so to speak, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. of crystals. The Stone app is really great. And I think they have their own deck that you carry at ceremonial, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, yep. So, you know, physically they've got this really nice oracle deck that is based off of the app called, once again, Stone.
I wanna say one more thing before we part with Alina, and that is play a game with them. And before you start to look them up, sit with it. If you feel like crystal magic is your department, your category, your superpower, then play a game, test your intuition by sitting down with that stone, meditating with it, and then writing down all, you know, walk into that meditation with like,
during this, I want to understand what your metaphysical properties are, your healing properties, that kind of thing. And then write them down and then do your research and mm-hmm. see if, you know, if you've been on the money. Because then what I think is important to know is that your intuition is really connecting in with the vibration of the stones. Mm-hmm. Laura, thank you so much for being here with us. This was, you know, some really incredible questions. We got to have a little bit of fun in the beginning too and learn a little bit more about each other. And it's always fun to have you here.
Oh, it was great to be here. Thank you guys for doing the work that you do and inviting me.
Yeah, it was our pleasure, my friend.
Well, we'll be having you around here again very soon. I know it to be true.
Mm-hmm.
The Ask a Hag podcast is produced by Donna Kyler. Listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. You can be a part of the podcast too. Leave us a voice message on the Anchor FM app and we'll play it on the show. And don't forget to review us on Apple Podcasts. We love 5 stars so much. You can find this podcast on Instagram at ask.a.hag or at askahagpodcast.com. Thank you so much.
Thank
everybody. You, everyone.
Thank you, Laura. Yay. Thank you, Laura.
With sea sponges, and he uses them to clean his body. Did you know about this?
No.
Stop me if you've heard this one. Okay, so
vetiver soap.
Okay, so the vetiver soap
always.
So he loves the sea sponges. This is when my parents lived in this house before they moved back to my dad's childhood home. But Jim and I were staying at my parents' house, and we loved to shower in my dad's bathroom because he did the best smells. All
luxury.
The sandalwood and patchouli all like the L'Occitane so shit, you know. And this is when my dad was like really on 2 feet still. And he was like, oh, this is after like 2 days. This is like 2 days of us being in the house. Did I tell you this?
No, but okay. I really love it when you say your dad, like when you talk like your dad. I fucking love it so much.
A lot of people do love it.
That's so funny.
So we're in the kitchen and my dad comes in and he goes, oh boy, kids, I don't think I told you not to use my sea sponges. I hope you haven't used my sea sponges. I wash my crack with those.
Oh my gosh.
Jim and I looked at each other like,
kids,
we did not use your sea sponges, and now we can't shower in there anymore because it's just cracks on sea sponges.
All the cracks.
All we see. Kids.
I have an announcement.
Kids, I forgot to tell you not to use my sea. And meanwhile, the reason we didn't use the sea sponges is because pubes were just jumping out of there. You know what happens with a sea sponge.
I do. It just... Non-stop pubes, man. They just grab them. They grab them and they hold on like tenaciously. Donna's dying.
No, we did not use it.
Would he have them like dangling like from the fucking over. Like...
One shower would have like 6 sea sponges.
Stop it.
To the point where my mother was like, I'm throwing these away, Jack. Like
pube ornaments. Just pube ornaments.